Now that our story has landed on Earth, it merges with some real history in this, the 9th episode of our intergalactic audio drama, which we call Roswell B.C., Before the Crash.
You know, when we walked out into the wilderness of the Earth's past, I thought the plan was to find Neela's brother, Orb. But when we accidentally came across this Billy the Kid character, that plan somehow got lost.
It was obvious that he had his eyes on Neela from the start. But that didn't bother me as much as watching Neela being taken in by his charms. At least, I thought she was being taken in. Maybe she was just playing along to get information about Orb, but I have to admit it was hard to tell.
After sitting around that campfire for hours, listening to Billy tell story after story, I had to bring us back to reality.
Neela, don't you think we should keep looking for Orb? The longer we wait, the harder it's going to be to find him.
Yes, you're right. Thank you, Billy, for letting us...
Now wait a minute! If you're going to find your brother, you need somebody who knows this country to help you.
No, that's all right. We can do it ourselves.
Oh, I insist. We insist. Don't we, boys?
Whatever you say, Billy.
All we need is one clue, and Jose can track him.
Do you know which way he was heading?
If we knew that, we'd be headed that way.
Ryan, they're just being helpful. One thing I do know about my brother, he'd rather be in the city than out here in the country.
Well, we don't really have cities around here. The closest towns are Lincoln to the north, and Roswell to the east.
Roswell? My brother and I know... we've known someone there, so he might be headed that way.
Then Roswell it is. I need to have a little talk with Mr. Chisholm anyway. Come on, Neela. Why don't you ride with me?
I guess I could.
Wait. What do you mean you know someone in Roswell?
It's a long story, Ryan, and for another time.
Here, give me your hand. There we go. Hang on. It's a long ride.
Here's an extra horse, mister. Hope you can ride. Could be a little rough. We just acquired this one earlier today. And he may still be looking for his previous owner.
Careful on that horse, he kicks.
Billy was right. It was a long ride to Roswell. It took me a little while to get comfortable in that, what do they call it? A saddle.
To tell you the truth, I never did get completely comfortable. We have a similar animal on my planet, but it had been a while since I'd ridden one.
I guess I did well enough to fool these guys into thinking I knew what I was doing. Of course, Neela didn't have to fool anyone. All she had to do was hold on to Billy for the next few hours. I can tell you one thing for sure. I was wishing I could visit with Tolop about why he and Neela weren't seeing eye to eye, because it didn't look like I was going to get to talk to her anytime soon.
Frank, bring our new friend in here so we can show him a good time. Maybe a little liquor will loosen his tongue a bit. The way I hear it, Tunstall's pretty chummy with his hired hands. This fella might just know some secrets.
Come on, mister. Belly up to the bar. What do you drink?
Well, I don't know. What have you got?
It's a bar. It got just about anything you want.
All right, I'll have whatever you're having.
Where are you from, mister?
Not from around here.
He sounds like a Yankee, Jesse. That figures. Tunstall's an Englishman. Murphy and Dolan are Irish. Pretty soon we won't be able to understand nobody.
Well, Jesse Evans. It's about time you checked in. We've got a large government contract to fill, and our supply of beef is running a bit low.
We got a few for you. Straight from the herds of John Henry Tungsten.
I'm afraid a few won't be enough. You'll need to be working double time to fill this order. Who's the new fella?
Just one of Tunstall's hired hands. He was guarding a herd by himself. I'm thinking he might know a thing or two about Billy and the others.
Well now, that's quite a fortunate turn of events. Why don't you hand him over to me? I do have a question or two for him.
Give Frank a little more time. He'll get him ready for you.
You're right. That's pretty good.
Pretty good. You hear that, boys? I think the little fella needs another. Maybe we can take the pretty off that good. Take the pretty off.
While Tolop was getting a taste of the Jesse Evans gang and their connection to the big store Lincoln, and we were on our way to Roswell, Orb was feeling his way through his latest adventure of mistaken identity.
So, Billy, I think you're going to be famous. Not too many folks have heard of you yet, but I think that's going to change.
Famous?
You killed a man out in Arizona, is that right?
Killed a man? Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I killed him all right. How did you know that?
Word about you is starting to get around, Billy. Or should I call you the kid?
Kid is fine. So what else are people saying about me?
Well, the story is you're from somewhere back east. Is that right?
Oh, I'm from back east, that's for sure.
After you killed that man, is that when you came to New Mexico? And then you rode with Jesse Evans for a while before you started working for Tunstall. Is that right?
Sure. Yeah, that about sums it up.
That about sums it up. I'm getting a kick out of how you talk, kid. Let's stop and get you a horse. Lincoln's just a few miles from here. Surely Billy the Kid's got some friends there.
I'm sure he does.
What'd you say?
Listen, Pete, I've got a confession to make.
I bet you do. What is it? How many men have you killed?
How many?
And what does it feel like to kill somebody, I mean?
Well, I,
Why'd you do it? You know why I'd kill somebody?
Why?
For trying to trick me. Trying to make a fool out of me. Yep. I've been known to lose my temper pretty quick when I find out somebody's been lying to me.
Really?
Really. So, what was you gonna confess?
What? Oh, yeah. I had a confession to make. I need to stop. You know, nature calls, you know.
Nature calls. There you go again. All right, we can stop for a minute.
What is wrong with me? If I told the truth in the first place? No, who am I kidding? I can't tell the truth on this planet. Especially not at this point in the past. I guess I have no choice. Orb, you are now officially Billy the Kid.
About halfway to Roswell, we stopped to... Now, what do they call it? Water the horses. It was good timing for me, because I needed to go off by myself for a few minutes to communicate with Eddie.
Also, I had to get away from Neela for a little while. Yes, I'll admit it. I was jealous of the time she was spending with this Billy the Kid character. I thought looking for Orb together would give me a chance to really get to know her.
But that wasn't in the cards quite yet. Anyways, I had to get in touch with Eddie before Timbus showed up.
Eddie, are you there?
Mr. Bond, you know I was just wondering about you. Whenever I tried to call the ship, no one answered.
No one? You haven't talked with Tolop?
No, sir.
That's strange. It's not like Tolop to go out of earshot of the ship's security feed.
I hope nothing bad's happened to him.
Tolop can take care of himself. I needed to talk with you right now.
But, Mr. Ryan, if you're not at the ship, how are we even talking right now?
It's my remote connection to the feed. I'm hiding it so that it looks like what Earth in this time period calls a pocket watch. When it's closed, no one will know it can be used to talk with someone in another galaxy.
So that's why you're whispering. Maybe I should whisper too.
That's all right. I can adjust the volume.
What was that? You're fading a little bit.
Yeah, that's to be expected when we use remote connection to a security feed from another galaxy and another time period.
I'm not sure that I followed all of that, but I believe you anyway. I guess we better make it quick so the feed doesn't go off on us.
You're right, Eddie. Listen closely. When Timbus comes, I want you to be as courteous as you can.
And but Mr. Ryan, Timbus is so mean. I don't think she likes me very much.
I'm not sure she likes anybody very much, except... Eddie, you just helped me come up with the rest of my plan.
Really? Oh, I'm sorry. Really? Wow. That makes me feel good, Mr. Ryan. But how did I do that?
Eddie, there is one person she likes very much, and I'd like to know a little bit more about him.
Who's that?
I don't know his name, but when she put Libra in the sphere, she was having an affair with someone else on Dorelta's council. He has a son named Radir.
Wait, you faded out just a little bit. What was that name again?
Radir. His son's name is Radir.
Radir. All right. But what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
I want you to call Timbus and tell her that we had Radir on the ship for a little while, and he asked me to get a message to his father.
Oh, so you want me to ask Timbus to bring Radir's father when she comes?
That's exactly what I want you to do. Eddie, I'm proud of you. You're starting to get the hang of this business.
I'm still having a little trouble hearing you. Did you say, get the hang? Is that another one of your figures of speech?
Yes, it is. It means you're starting to understand how I work. I'm beginning to not regret hiring you.
Oh, Mr. Ryan, I hope I heard you clearly, because that's the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me.
I hope not. One more thing, Eddie.
Anything you ask, boss.
On the security screen, there's a red button on the left side.
Yeah, I see it.
Just before Timbus and her friend come to the office, press that button.
Why?
Because it will record your conversation, and I can listen to it later.
Oh, you're sneaky, Mr. Ryan.
Yeah, I guess I am. Thanks again, Eddie. I have to say I'm proud of you.
Oh, Mr. Ryan, now you're really making me blush.
Just remember what we talked about.
Sure. Radir's father, red button. Got it. Oh, this is so exciting. Wait, what was Radir's message?
Tell his father that Radir knows.
Radir knows what?
That's all you have to say, Eddie. He'll understand.
If you say so, I'll talk to you on your pocket watch soon, boss.
I didn't let Eddie know how worried I was when she said Tolop didn't respond to her calls. If he was in some sort of trouble, I could only imagine what he was going through.
So, what did you put in this drink anyway?
Good stuff, huh?
It's really good stuff. Who's that man sitting over there?
That's Jimmy Dolan. He runs the big store.
The big store? How big?
The biggest in the county. And he wants to talk to you.
Who wants to talk to me?
Jimmy Dolan. I think he has some questions for you.
Oh, good. I like questions. Is it a game?
Not unless you make it one. Come on over here and I'll introduce you.
You do that.
Real good.
Whoa. Can you tell my feet to stop being so loud?
Mr. Dolan, this is... I don't think I ever got your name.
My name is
Toad. I think he's saying people call him Toad.
Well, that fits the little fella.
So, Toad, tell me a little bit about yourself. What do you do?
What do you mean, what do I do?
What are you good at?
Well, I'm really good with engines.
Is that right? Good with engines. That should come in handy.
How?
The latest government agent seems to think our prices are a bit too high for the beef we supply the reservation.
Sounds like he may need to be replaced.
But we don't know enough about your friend here yet. What was Tunstall paying you?
Tunstall? What's a Tunstall?
Don't get smart. Tunstall's not a what. He's the who you've been working for.
I work for Mr. Ryan.
Mr. Ryan? Who's this Mr. Ryan?
He's my boss, and he'll come looking for me real soon.
Is that right? Jesse?
Yeah, Mr. Dolan?
Find out who this Mr. Ryan is. I don't need another competitor. Tunstall's enough.
I'm on it.
And Jesse?
Yeah?
Take Toad here with you. I don't think I'm getting any more information out of him today.
At the same time I was worrying about Tola, I couldn't help but wonder what was happening back where I left Neela, Billy, and the others.
Yeah, that was my mother. She was quite a lady.
Was?
Tuberculosis. She died about 4 years ago.
I'm sorry.
How about yours?
My what?
Your mother.
Well, that's a long story.
I could listen to you for hours.
Let's just say she's gone her own way. She and my father are not together anymore.
So I'm guessing you're a lot more like your father?
I got my drive from my mother, but I learned how to make the right decisions from my father.
Well, I'm glad you decided to come with us. I hope your father would approve.
I'm quite certain he would.
Neela, the longer I'm around you, the more I want to help you find your brother.
That's very nice.
What's very nice?
The fact that Billy, and the others, are helping us find Orb.
Yes, I suppose that's nice. Now don't you think it's time to head on to Roswell?
It seemed like every time I turned around, Billy was inching his way a little closer to Neela.
And it was starting to get under my skin. Plus, I was still wrestling with the idea of having a feminine side. Did Billy have a feminine side? I sure couldn't see it. Of course, Neela was looking at him through very different eyes.
And what was this about Neela knowing someone in Roswell? I was still so attracted to her that it hurt. But all these unanswered questions made it hurt even more. And some of those answers wouldn't come until we made it back to Roswell in 1947.
Roswell, B.C. comes to you straight from Roswell, New Mexico. With a few exceptions, the voices you will hear in this series are Roswell residents. This episode of Roswell, BC is entitled The Ride and features the voices of Kyle Bullock as Ryan, Devin Bullock as Neela, Lynetta Zuber as Eddie, Tony Souza as Tolip, Jill Bailey as the feminine Ryan, Robin Haynes as Orb, Josh Hartwell as Pete, Ty Watley as Jesse Evans, Drew Prophet as Jimmy Dolan, Dane Leonardson as Frank Baker and the rest of the Jesse Evans gang, Zach Anderson as Jose Chavez y Chavez and the rest of the Regulators, and Dominic Batista as Billy the Kid. Drew is from Audioblivious, an audio drama production house in Kentucky. Dane is an audio drama producer in Wisconsin. The Roswell, BC theme music was composed and recorded by Brian Hunley. The harmonica in this episode is played by Chip Sellerol. The artwork for our podcast cover and posters is the creation of Logan Pack. Some of the special audio effects heard in this series are courtesy of Reliquwood Media.
All intergalactic pocket watches used in this production were generously provided by Bullock's Jewelry. Bullock's, providing intergalactic pocket watches since 1926.
Roswell, BC was created, written, directed, and produced by yours truly, Boyd Barrett. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Overcast, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio, and please leave us a great review while you're there. You can also visit our website at roswellbc.com. The story is headed your way.